From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Welcome to episode number 139, where I'm joined by extraordinary woman Catherine Sayo. If you have lipedema, you will most likely know her name already because of the fantastic work she has done raising awareness of the disease. Catherine Sayo, PhD, is founder and director of Lipedema Simplified and executive director of the Lipedema Project, course director for the masterclass Beyond Lipedema, and a professor of psychology. She produced and directed the documentary The Disease They Call Fat and was one of the co-authors of the book Lipedema, The Disease They Call Fat, An Overview for Clinicians. Catherine's research focuses on empowering women who experience the distortions of body image and the role of nutrition for treating lipedema. She holds a doctorate in psychology with a concentration in media. She has lipedema, lymphedema, and has struggled with obesity. Catherine brings knowledge, compassion, and humour to living with a chronic condition. June is Lipedema Awareness Month, so it was the perfect time to get Catherine on the podcast. I have been looking forward to chatting with her for a long time now and enjoyed it even more than I was expecting. If you think that you may have lipedema, do check out this week's show notes where you will find plenty of resources to help you. Go to ketowomanpodcast.com/139 or find the link in the description listed with this episode. Welcome, Catherine, to the Keto Woman podcast. What a pleasure it is to see you today. How are you doing?
I'm so well. Thank you, Daisy. I really appreciate the invitation. I'm so glad to be here.
Listeners will have heard mention of you previously with Mendy and Rayanne's episodes, and so I'm really excited to be talking to you today. Perhaps you could just start off by telling the listeners about you.
Well, I think the thing that I always say that's most pertinent is that I have lipedema, I have lymphedema, and I've dealt with weight issues and obesity for many, many, many years. I think the simple version is that I had maintained a really comfortable weight after having lost over 100 pounds for over 25 years. And then when I entered perimenopause, all bets were off. Mm. It was beyond unpleasant. I began to experience all kinds of symptoms. The doctor, who is a wonderful, wonderful primary care, he couldn't figure out what was going on. Yada, 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 a lot of complications. It turned out in retrospect that perimenopause is one of the hormonal disturbances that can initiate or exacerbate lipedema. And so it was during that period that I began to experience unexplained weight gain, pain, swelling, uncontrollable swelling. You know, they sent me for CAT scans and MRIs and all kinds of different tests. And so I ended up having a surgical intervention because I had, as I said, more complications, which resulted in a surgically induced lymphedema. Wow. So then I was dealing with undiagnosed lipedema, lymphedema, and other complications. And so what ended up happening is, I don't know, I kept trying to get help. I went to doctors, the surgeon. You know, my surgeon wasn't very kind or nice. He was very defensive. My primary care was, you know, the primary care from heaven. He was kind and gentle. And the bottom line got to be that neither one of them could help me. And even though there was a sincere attempt from my primary care, they didn't know what was going on. And they couldn't say, I don't know what was going on. My primary care did, but the surgeon wouldn't. I think it's important to understand that post-surgery, I was in excruciating pain. I was losing my mobility. At that point in time, there was a very strong possibility I was going to lose the use of both my arms and both my legs. Wow. And it just was not an acceptable solution for me. That was it. It's like, this is not going to happen. There was this one moment where I realized that it's not that they wouldn't help me, it's that they couldn't and that they didn't have the answer. And then I thought to myself, well, if this is a problem, then there's an answer because the universe is so impeccable. There's got to be an answer. So I dedicated myself to finding the answer. And I have a background I'm a professor, so I have background in research, and I started to research. And when I say, I mean, literally 24/7, I just was relentless trying to find everything I could about it. It took me about not quite a year. And there was this moment when it just clicked in. My therapist gave me Professor Foldy's book on the lymphatic system. And having a background in research and as a professor, you know, you don't read a textbook, but I went through the textbook and all of a sudden it was as if I just zeroed in on the chapter on lipedema. And I went to see my therapist and I said, you know, Melissa, this is it. This is what I have. Nobody could diagnose it. And as soon as that happened, it was as if the pathway started to open up. As soon as I had the answer, at the time I thought, well, there's got to be a solution. And so I came to Europe. I was in Germany and the UK and all throughout the Netherlands, wherever anybody knew anything about the lymphatic system. And so first I started with all the papers, the journal articles. Then I contacted the surgeons and doctors and different folks that had done research and just went and started to interview everybody and gathered the information. Because we're here to talk about keto, I think that was such an incredible shift, because what was so is that lipedema is resistant to diet and exercise. It's the type of fat that you just can't move. There are pathophysiological reasons for that, the metabolic issues, connective tissue. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But the issue is that just calorie restriction, this kind of diet, that kind of diet, nothing was working. And then I was at a conference, was at the first symposium for the lymphatic disorders at the NIH, which is the National Institutes of Health, which in the US is the major organization that does medical research and medical funding. And I was at that symposium with the, I actually partnered with a surgeon here in New York, and together we were developing outreach. And so we had developed the Lipedema Project together. So we were at that symposium and I met a woman, Leslyn Keith. She's an occupational therapist. She has her doctorate in occupational therapy and she was presenting her research. And her research was on a ketogenic intervention for lymphedema and obesity. At the time, it was just, you know, when you look at life, there are these happenstance moments.
Yeah.
And meeting Leslyn was one of those happenstance moments. Because when I saw her research, I had an immediate gut response to it. I knew that there was something very important. I myself, the way that I had lost over 100 pounds was with a low carbohydrate food plan. The thing about it is what I now realize is, well, I realized it when I started to work with Leslyn, is that it wasn't a low carbohydrate. It was filled with plant-based. It was plant-based, like 80% plant-based. So it was pretty high in carbs when I look at it. So Leslyn and I had a conversation. We were in Bethesda, Maryland at this symposium. And so we had a conversation. And towards the end of the conversation, we said, do you think this could work for lipedema? And we had the same, she was thinking about it at the same time, and I was thinking about it. And we said, let's reconnect post-symposium. I was on my way to Europe, and she was finishing her research. So that was in September of 2015. And it wasn't until the late spring and early summer of 2016 that we actually reconnected. And we said, well, let's see. So we did a webinar on keto for lipedema. It was more of a academic exploration than it was what we now do. And what ended up happening is several women just thought, wow, this is interesting. And one of the women specifically went on the keto plan and she wrote us a few months. Month or two, could not have been that long. Because I think, as I recall, the webinar was in like midsummer. So I think it was June or July. And we heard from her by August and she had dropped 20, 25 pounds on keto. Mm-hmm. And we're like, really? Now this is really interesting. So Leslyn and I said, let's see what we can find out. So we set up a couple of classes and we started to teach the lipedema community about keto. What ended up happening is the reports that came in were astounding. Like we did not know what to expect. Mendy, who you mentioned, is one of the women who came in very early on. We started a group. We did a number of classes. We had a feasibility study so we could track it. Mendy was, she was one of the lipedema ladies that was most significant in terms of her results and her love of keto. So she was going to go away with her husband for their anniversary and she wanted to lose some weight to feel better because she had a lot of pain from the lipedema. So anyway, she got involved and she's lost over 100 pounds. You know, she's down to a size 6, which is not always common for those of us with lipedema.
Yeah.
As it's evolved, we keep learning. Let me say that. because I feel like, you know, what we're hoping next is to do some actual clinical trials, which we haven't gotten to yet. Pretty much all of our data is anecdotal. The thing about anecdotal data is when you have thousands of cases, you begin to say, oh, okay, we're beginning to see a pattern
here. Yeah, something very weird is going on here.
Yeah, something very significant is happening. So we have a group that is really active with close to 10,000 women. A few things about lipedema. It affects women predominantly because it's a hormonal disturbance, and men with hormonal disturbances can get it. It's very rare. So 99.999%, it's all women who have it. So our population that we work with is our women. The fat distribution is imbalanced. So the upper body will be a normal size for the most part, not always, because obesity tends to be a comorbidity to lipedema, but the hips and the butt and the thighs and the legs and sometimes the arms become very, the distribution is very off. So there's quite a bit of volume and it grows. It gets worse over time. You know, doing something doesn't stop it. It just continues to progress. So when we started to get reports from women that the pain was eliminated, that the swelling had gone down, that the bruising, one of the symptoms is bruising, like you might bump into something that for anyone else, it's like this light bump. For someone with lipedema, it's not.
Why is that?
Because of capillary fragility.
Right.
The capillaries are very fragile. And so what ends up happening is you end up with black and blues. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the symptoms that you can tell. So we're getting all these reports and it's amazing. Now, let me say, I need to say this up front. It doesn't work perfectly for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I am one of those. That it hasn't worked the way I want it to, which in some ways there's always, you know, everything has a good side and a not so good side. And the not so good side is that I've really, really had to struggle. And the good side is in my struggle, I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what we share often with everyone. I lived over 30 years really on a low carbohydrate plant-based diet. And so for me, you know, sitting down to a salad is something that I, in my deepest psyche, think is a very good thing. And it wasn't. And it was like I had become, or was, who knows, I probably was all along, so carbohydrate sensitive that even the smallest amounts of carbohydrates would keep me either at the same weight or gaining weight. It's like I can remember struggling with this years ago as I was going through this period in perimenopause where, you know, I was eating like so well, like what we would consider really good. I was eating lots of salads and vegetables and good proteins like lean chicken, fish. You know, I remember a period where I was eating a lot of kale and Swiss chard and, you know, all the good greens, and I was gaining weight. And I didn't believe it. I kept thinking, well, am I getting up in the middle of the night? But I can't because there's nothing in the house that I could eat. So it would just be this whole thing. But what I found for myself, that the combination of intermittent fasting and extended fasting and carnivore is what would work the best for me. So I did that, and I was able to drop enough weight through all of this. Osteoarthritis is one of the comorbidities to lipedema often. And I think part of it is because many of us are also have weight issues and have obesity as well as lipedema and lymphedema. And so I needed a hip replacement, and I had to lose weight because I gained weight through this whole lipedema discovery process. And as I was trying to lose the weight, you know, I worked very, very hard at it, and eventually came up with some answers. And that's some of what we share with our ladies. I just as well interviewed one of our ladies who came in, and she had been over 10 years struggling. She's a stage 4, which is the most advanced. She has lipolymphedema, and nothing was working for her at all. They had given up on her. She had very advanced lipolymphedema. She was over 300 pounds. She had worked with a nutritionist at her hospital and had been getting treatments. And in 4 years, she'd only been able to lose a couple pounds. Mm. And she wasn't eating very much. And anyway, my heart just breaks because I know that situation so well. We have a masterclass series. We have a series of different things we offer. And one that we offer is a very intimate, small group process that we work with, a small group over 6 months. And she did that last spring. And she worked with one of our coaches, Megan Pfeffer, who is a therapeutic nutritionist. She's also someone you might want to interview. She's really phenomenal. Kathy worked with Megan, and she started to respond. So she had almost lost her mobility. And so she couldn't walk very well. She could walk very short distances, but she had to use canes and walkers and things like that. And within the first month, she said that she was able to walk for the first time without pain in 10 years. Mm. She'd had a heart attack, and so she was able to very slowly over the past year, she's eliminated 2/3 of her medications. She has a huge amount of medications, and she's lost over 70 pounds.
Fantastic.
And so to say that keto is a miracle is not to understate it. Mm. So for this population, nothing else worked, and keto works better than anything else. And there's still some of us that have other issues, so we work with them as well.
And when you said you're one of those people that, not that it hasn't worked for, but that it hasn't worked as well as you wanted, perhaps you could just explain the things that it has worked well for and those that it's just not reaching.
Oh, quality of life, mood, feeling a nice kind of gentleness. And this sounds silly, but it's all true. The reduction of pain, swelling, sometimes, not always. And I think just overall, well, I'm a keto lover. I just think it gave me more clarity of mind. Where the challenge has been is I still want to lose more weight. So through the whole thing, I had, you know, numbers matter. I had lost over 140 pounds. I had started myself at over 300 pounds all the time thinking, you know, it was my fault that it was, you know, it was lifestyle choices. And to some degree, it was for a very long time. And then it wasn't. And then, you know, I was eating as good a diet as anybody could and exercising regularly. And then age set in. And so they kept telling me it was menopause. But in fact, it really wasn't. It was the time that the lipedema kicked in full force. What I didn't realize at the time, and what I've realized in retrospect, and I think this is, for me, the gift. I was in a 12-step Overeaters Anonymous program where it was the low-carb program. So it was plant-based, but I had given up all of the, you know, rice and potatoes and pasta and all of the processed foods. Mm-hmm. All of that had maintained my quality of life and my well-being health-wise, because even though it wasn't what I now know to be as low carb as I am, it was still low carb.
Yeah.
So on a typical day, I would have, you know, protein and a fruit for breakfast. I would have protein and a salad for lunch and protein and cooked vegetables and a salad for dinner with small amounts of fat. So as I look back and as I compare it, one of the things that's changed is fat is a wonderful substance. Fat is really remarkable. After having been low fat for like ever, it's like, it's amazing to me that I reached satiety. I'm like, you know, it's enough. That it gives me a sense of clarity. It is a remarkable substance, and who knew? So those are the kinds of things that have come out of it. And I just recently, so I went on carnivore and did a lot of intermittent fasting for a very long time, but I added some extended fasting to it, and I lost enough weight to have a hip replacement. I needed a hip replacement. So I had the hip replacement in September. All the weight I lost came back in swelling. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Mm. And so I had to go through months and months of physical therapy, and the swelling has gone down, and I'm walking and, you know, really in a good recovery process. So I started again very recently saying, okay, it's time to do the next phase of let's see what we can do for weight loss next.
And there are a couple of things that you've said, and it's something that I think is so embedded in particular in the female psyche, and that's just this concept of blame. Not only do we blame ourselves, probably because it's been an external blame that we've internalized, but that people, and I heard this particularly with Rayanne's story, I think it was, where, and you mentioned that as well, there's that element of the medical establishment just not believing you. So you mm-hmm. know in your heart that you're not eating the way they think that you're eating, and yet they just assume that they're right and that you're making it up. Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult to deal with and very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And it, as you said, lipidemia is pretty well exclusively female. So it's, I think it's very important, the fact that it's a female condition seems to really be important in all the emotional stuff that goes with this. And I was reading in your bio about you being a media psychologist, so I know this is something that's dear to your heart as well. I wonder if you could just expand on that a bit, because it seems to be a pretty key component with lipedema.
Thanks for the question, Daisy. It's right at the core and the heart of the work that I've done. So my research has been around body dissatisfaction for women and what happens and how that happens, and especially how the media contributes to that. And the media is a reflection of our culture.
Yeah, sure.
What's so interesting is it's not just here in the States or in Europe, but it's global. It's like every culture, pretty much, even some of the Polynesian and tribal cultures that would revere large-bodied women, that's changed because of the cultural shift.
Very interesting.
Mm. The whole thing is fascinating. We have awareness of fat at the earliest of ages. There was a study done where children 5 and 6 and 7 years old were given drawings, and throughout the entire study, they found that the children, they were asked, well, who do you want to be friends with? And they would consistently push away any pictures of anyone overweight. Mm. And so it's so deeply embedded in our culture. And so what that leads to is self-denigration, self-blame, and it gets carried through all of our healthcare interactions, because most physicians, it's not even that they mean to, but there is an implicit bias. In the literature, they talk about it as anti-fat bias and weight stigma, that the assumption is that it's controllable, that the reason your body is large-sized is not because of anything physiological in terms of some kind of disease process, but in fact, it's because you are choosing to do this. You are choosing to be out of control, mm-hmm. that notion of controllability. Now, even though the more current research is saying calories in, calories out is not a model that works. And there's Blackburn studies out of Harvard. They do a obesity conference every year. And they are now saying that there are 36 different variations of obesity. Obesity isn't just one disorder.
Interesting.
It has many, many permutations. The primary care physician who walked me through this, he and I have been collaborating along with Leslin, and we've done a webinar series together, and we're going to be doing some more work together. We actually are just finishing writing an article for publication. So if you're looking at that, you're looking at a very complex disorder. You're looking at a cultural norm that colludes to say fat is bad. And if you are fat, then you are, and you can fill in the blanks, because some of the words is you're lazy, you're stupid, you're out of control. And in the literature, there's quite a few other juicy terms. And so that gets internalized. And what happens is that we believe that it's true. And then I include myself in this because I've been through much of this in my own life. Those of us either tend to isolate, or, as you say, there's a very, very significant emotional component to it. So it's a pretty complex territory. And that's the work that we do, that we've chosen to do, is to really, and it came out of the need. It's like, you know, as I put the puzzle pieces, you know, I ended up at this point where I had all these puzzle pieces, like I was this huge, massive jigsaw puzzle. And there was something that was running through the whole thing. And yet it took a village. So there's a team of 7 of us. We've been working together, and each one comes with a different perspective and a different expertise, if you will. And as we've put these puzzle pieces together, we've come up with this whole intervention that's based as a holistic integration process. That includes physical, mental and psychological, emotional, spiritual, and social, and all 5 dimensions. 4 of those dimensions are Eric Erickson talks about as a psychosocial model of healing. And we add in the physical, because the physical component is at the core in some ways of where the problems are. But interestingly enough, community is the core of where the solutions are.
Can't believe that.
Yeah. And it's been amazing to watch this all evolve. And it's been an evolutionary process. And, you know, God bless all the Lipedema ladies who've been part of the, you know, building of something that we can now offer and replicate.
And of course, it's Lipedema Awareness Month. So what do you think are the key things that people need to be aware of? Because it's something that comes up so often, it seems, that often people know there's something wrong, but they don't know what it is until they know, until somebody shares something. I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important to keep revisiting this subject, keep sharing the stories, because the more you do, the more it's going to catch those people who suddenly listen, watch, see something that they, it suddenly clicks in their brain. Ah, okay. That's what my problem is.
So there's good news, which is that when we started, no one knew about it. When I started in 2011, there was one doctor in the entire United States that knew something about fat disorders. Wow. And she's gone on and has done some research and has established herself as an expert in the field, which is fabulous. One doctor, you know, and she has colleagues that she's worked with. But I really had to go overseas to get doctors and surgeons and other therapists that really knew to the degree. And that's come more and more to the U.S. So what that means is that there's a lot more available online where women are beginning to find out. And once a year, we have this Lipedema Awareness Month. And the outcome from all my travel to Europe and all my interviews was a documentary film. It's a just under an hour. I had never made a documentary film before. It was a very complex and amazing process. I'm so glad to have done it. Someone had suggested to me that I put it up on Facebook last year, because during June, I would always make the film available for free for anyone in the community. And they would come to the website and watch it. And we'd get about a few thousand women would come. And that was great. Well, Jen, my coach, suggested when we put it up onto Facebook last year instead, and we did, and we're close to 1 million views.
Wow.
I think this month we'll go over 1 million views. And women are sharing it. Mm-hmm. It's an easy venue for them to use. And so we have a quiz. Do you have lipedema? Here's the symptoms, basically, in a 9-question, very easy quiz, and you can find out the likelihood of whether you have it or not.
It is very easy. I've done that and I've watched the documentary. It's fantastic. And we've shared these links before, but we will absolutely share them again.
And our goal is just to reach as many as we can. You know, according to some research that was done at the Foldy Clinic, which is a clinic in Germany, which is dedicated to the lymphatic system, that 11% of women have this disorder. And if you think of 11% of women, that's 17 million women in the US. Mm. And so there's 17 million minus maybe several, many thousand, maybe at this point, 100,000. But still, there's millions of women who have this disorder that think that they're fat and that they're doing something wrong and that they're blaming themselves. And that's why the first hashtag we had was, it's not your fault, you know, because that's the thing that we were so astounded with. And so many women, when they found out, that's the first thing they would say. You mean, it's not my fault? I thought it was my fault. So that's something I would share with your listeners more than anything. You know, if lipedema and or lymphatic or fat disorder, whatever it is for you, find out. You know, do a little bit of research. There's so much you can do right now online. Come to our websites, the Lipedema Project or Lipedema Simplified. There's enough there that you can begin the process. I was lucky enough to work with a group of the doctors and surgeons that I had interviewed, and we wrote a book called Lipedema, the Disease They Call Fat, an Overview for Clinicians, which is available on Amazon, or we have a PDF version that you can get for a donation mm-hmm. on the Lipedema Project site, because what we want to do is raise awareness.
Yeah, that's what's important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it seems that a lot of people basically self-diagnose. And then that was going to be my next question, you know, what to do next. And I guess to a certain extent, maybe it depends what stage you're at as to whether there's any point. I don't know. I mean, I took your quiz. I forget the exact percentage I came in at. I think it was high 60s was the likelihood. And, you know, just looking at myself, I think there's quite a good chance. But I'm certainly not past stage, I don't know, one or two. Again, I'm just going from pictures I've seen and things like that. And I don't know, is there even any point in talking to my doctor about it? Or am I doing really, by eating a keto way of eating, am I really sort of doing everything I could be doing anyway?
I think everyone, let me say this a different way. When women come into our groups, we suggest, number one, try keto. We adapt, because for lipedema, there are certain things that you can do on keto if your normal physiology that don't work if you have lipedema, such as artificial sweeteners don't work, nut flours don't work.
When you say they don't work, are they really going to hold you back if you're including them in your diet? Is that what you're saying by that?
They will hold you back from weight loss, and in some cases will create inflammation. So one of the things that we're working with all the time is inflammation. And the pain itself that women with lipedema have is a result, as best as we can tell, from the inflammatory process. Obesity, one of the cornerstones of obesity or excessive adiposity, is inflammation. And so what you end up with, and inflammation by its very nature, is swelling. And the internal swelling presses against all the other, you're pressing against the vascular system, you're pressing against the capillaries, and it progresses. And so some of the things that I tried when I first started keto, I tried keto pizza and I tried keto fried chicken with, you know, in the beginning, it was like, oh, okay. And then slowly I said, well, you know what? I can't have those things. It's just, not only do we suggest some blanket stuff, but we suggest that each woman is her own individual self. Like, lipedema doesn't show up the same for every woman. It's like the stage is different. The comorbidities are different. Your history is different. So what works for one doesn't necessarily work for another. And so one of the things that we emphasize again and again and again is bio-individuality. You are unique. And so we suggest what we call biohacking. See what works for you. You have to really tune in, number one, to your body and to what you're feeding your body to see what you react well to and what you don't. It was shocking to me that I found out that I have a sensitivity to nightshades. Who knew? I had never been that sensitized that I could even recognize it. And, you know, I went out to dinner with someone and we had a fabulous keto meal and we both ate the same meal. She was visiting from out of state and went to my favorite Italian restaurant and I got this wonderful eggplant, no breading. They do this whole thing. And the next day I felt like I got hit by a truck and I couldn't figure it out. And I sat and said, okay, what happened? And I went back and I went, oh my God, I think I have a sensitivity to nightshades. And so I started to eliminate the nightshades. And sure enough, some of the symptoms that I had experienced started to go away. So the message really is that you are unique. And, you know, while we can give you a direction and very solid core, 20 grams or below of carbohydrates, start there. And then you see. And we have some women who are on zero carbs or 5 grams of carbs, you know? And so you need to see what works.
Yeah, I think that's a natural fit with keto. Not everyone, obviously, but a lot of the people that I've come across in the keto community, just for the first time, feel this sense of empowerment when it comes to what they're eating, something that they've struggled with for so long and felt, you know, a lack of control or whatever it is. And they suddenly start gaining confidence and really want to dig into, well, why is this working? You know, it's not just enough to accept, well, this diet plan I've been given, it seems to be working. That's great. That's not enough. They want to dig into why it's working. And in doing that, they really get a good understanding of how their body works. And this just builds and builds and builds. And I think a lot of people naturally fall into that self-experimentation and keep taking it a stage further and further and further. So it just seems such a perfect fit with the lipedema awareness and a lot of that having to come from self-diagnosis and self-experimentation. It seems like a perfect marriage.
Yeah, it is. Dave Feldman, who is fabulous, he does a lot of the work on cholesterol.
Yeah, we love Dave.
Yeah, isn't he wonderful? He talks about N equals one.
Yeah.
That really each of us are our own experiment and we have the laboratory with us 24/7. Every day, every moment of our entire lives. What a great experiment we can do. And ultimately, that's the experiment worth investing in yourself, mm-hmm. and your health and your well-being and your ability to have the kind of clarity and quality of life that you deserve.
Yes, and he talks about, he encourages people to be citizen scientists, doesn't he? But also, I think one of the things that he highlights, which of course is what you've done, is to then share your results, is to join communities. And by doing that, you help other people and you help other people stumble across the solutions and, you know, and start helping themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the single most important thing that I've discovered, that it is in community that we learn, that we evolve, that we come up with answers. And it's so fascinating to watch that when women come in, we do have a community, we have a membership community. I'll give you the link. It's open till the end of June, and then it closes, and then it will reopen again in a few months. What we do is we find ways that interaction, first of all, it creates the discussion. Once the discussion starts, the brainstorming starts. And then when you have literally hundreds of people who've had similar experiences, or wait, someone's outside of this experience, what did they have? What did they learn? You begin to put together a whole view of what the big picture is and where you fit into it. And besides that, they're wonderful, wonderful women. They're friends and funny and smart. One of the things that Dr. Carmody was my primary care. He retired recently, and now we're doing some work together. But through all of this, he learned about lipedema. He's one of the co-authors on the book that I mentioned. So I started to send patients to him, and the word spread. And so he ended up seeing and diagnosing and working with quite a number of lipedema ladies who would travel to Boston from literally all over. So we had, you know, people coming in just to see him. One of the things he said to me one day, I was in for an appointment with him, and he said, "I love working with the lipedema ladies." He said, "I don't know a population that has more of a right to be really angry and upset with healthcare." And yet they're innovative. They're very smart. They know a lot about who they are and their disorder. And working with them is a pleasure. It's really lovely because that's my experience of the women in community. It's like we get to work together in a way that helps everyone.
And it's so easy to do these days, isn't it? With the internet, it's really easy to find these communities where you can find help, because it is difficult when you think it's just you, even if you know it's not just you, even if you know there are people out there. Until you can establish that connection with them, it does just feel very, very lonely.
Yes, it does. And look at this. I'm in Boston, you're in France, and we're able to have this conversation.
That's right.
I'm amazed and always blessed by technology. I think it serves us. it serves us well, because the one thing that makes a difference is connection.
It's an absolute nightmare when it goes wrong. Trust me. When you have the kind of internet connection I have, it's my official one, is really, really bad. And it's down to about half a meg. So it's not possible to do any of the things I do. So I have this slightly maverick connection with a guy I know who sets it up, which bounces all over the countryside. There's an antenna up a tree somewhere 20 miles away. That's how I get my internet. So it's always a little bit fragile, but you realize when there's a day when it's down how very, very important it is.
Yeah, and you have it, Daisy. The good thing is that you have it.
Absolutely.
And you get to interview so many fascinating people from all over the world.
Yes, I love it. It wasn't something when I first arrived here in France, the internet was, I've just sort of starting. I had that dial up, you know, with the noise it used to make when it literally dialed up. And it wasn't that important to me, but obviously it's become of paramount importance. Yeah. So yes, I'm very thankful for my weird maverick internet connection.
Yeah. And I feel so blessed by it. We have webinar series, the masterclass webinar series. We offer free webinars to the community. And, you know, we started doing these several years ago. And we'll have women from literally all over the world. We have women from New Zealand and from South Africa and from Australia and all over Europe and South America and all over the North America. So I'll sit on a webinar and I'll go, oh my God. This is like so wonderful that we can do this.
It really is. Was there anything else that you'd like to share? Something that I haven't asked you? Something that you want to get out there? This is your show. So if there's anything else you want to broadcast.
There's a quote that I often share. In fact, pretty much all the time I share it. The essence of it is softly and gently. It's time to befriend your body. It's the one thing that your body's been waiting for your entire life. This whole notion of befriending your body, it's pretty amazing. It's not only those of us with weight issues or those of us with chronic diseases like lipedema, but it's our entire culture, especially women. And the thing is if you can day in and day out, just find one small thing you can do that gives your body the message that it's loved, that it's cared for, that you are going to feel safe within it. It will start to respond to you. Someone I know once said, well, it's where I live. It's like, this is where I'm living right now. This is what I'm occupying, this body. How can I treat it as well and as gently as I would treat anything else that I lived with it? Like your home. You know, what do you do? Do you bring it flowers? What is it? What is the nice thing you do in your home? Well, this is your home.
Powerful. So where can people find you? Where can people start getting the help that they need?
Lipedema-simplify.org, lipedemaproject.org are our websites. We offer quite a number of webinars, online courses, support groups, a membership group. We just launched a membership group because women were asking us for a very long time for something that could help, that was very low cost, that was ongoing. So we created a membership group because, you know, 10,000 women, it's great. They get lots of information and there's, you know, not everyone is on that group all the time, but it's pretty large. So it's a more manageable size and it is a community. So the community group is wonderful and you can find information on that on either one of the websites and you can email me. Catherine@lipedema-simplify.org. And I'm happy. I respond to tons of emails.
It must be tons and tons. That's take up an awful lot of time.
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, I have to say one last thing is that this is not what I expected to be doing with my life. When it started, they say the thing that has brought you the most pain in your life can be a doorway from a spiritual perspective, that it can be a doorway into something. And that's what lipedema has been for me. I needed answers. I knew that being immobile was not something that I could do. I just couldn't have done it. I would have checked out because that's just not who I am or what I could do. So I knew I needed to find answers. But when I started to find answers, the only thing to do was to share it with whoever wanted to listen. And when I started to hear stories, it just became so evident that there was a need that needed to be filled. And so I feel like that there's been support and guidance and every single step of the way. When it felt like I was at a dead end, something new would emerge. And one of the things that, and I think the most significant emergence, was the forming of a team. There's a group of us that work together. There's 7 of us. And actually, I think that's about to change to be 8 because someone else, I think Dr. Carmen, is going to be involved a little more. And those women, we've worked together. Most of us have lipedema and lymphedema. And 2 are professionals, Leslyn Keith and Rosie Rausmit, who is a obesity medicine nurse practitioner who has a specialty in thyroid disorders. Mm. And Brenda Gold, who is one of our graduates from the master classes. And she does work around well-being and emotional coaching. And Rayanne, who you've talked to, and Mindy, who you've talked to, who are both keto coaches. And they did their training with Professor Noakes in South Africa, his nutrition network. Megan Pfeffer, I mentioned her as well. She's a therapeutic nutritionist and coach and consultant. So she's done incredible miracles with people. And I think that's Brenda and let me make sure I got everyone. Rosie and Mindy, Megan, yeah, and Rayanne and Leslyn. And Leslyn, she doesn't do one-on-one coaching, but she is amazing at understanding the lymphatic system. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful evolution, really. It's been an evolution. While I wouldn't choose to have lipedema, I wouldn't change it at this stage of the game.
Well, thank you for everything you do. It's a great thing you're offering the world. And offering all these women who, yeah, have maybe nowhere else to turn. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you, Daisy. And thank you again for the chat. This is great. You're wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Well, Rayanne said I would love you. She's right.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you too. Perhaps you could leave us in customary fashion with a top tip.
Well, it's mostly what I've said. Community is imperative. Find your tribe. Love them hard. Mm-hmm. Give as much as you can. But the other side is receive as much and more from your community. Because that's the place we have the hardest time is receiving. So.
Yes, that's very true. So, yes, that's an interesting twist that people often don't think about that side of it and I'm reluctant to actually accept that help. I know it's something I struggle with.
Yes.
So thank you. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much, Catherine.
And the pleasure is really mine as well. So thank you, Daisy.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share, and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowoman, or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman podcast Instagram and Facebook pages, and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from Helen Keller. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.